Hey everyone, welcome to the latest edition of the Pulling on Heaven podcast here with Pastor Gary Zamora. Welcome.
Thank you. Always a pleasure and always in anticipation for what's going to happen. You know, every time we sit down to talk, it seems like there's this, and I know I'm laughing because it cracks me up. We have this plan that never unfolds. It's like, put that book away and let's read out of this one.
We're going to talk about this, but nope, we end up talking about whatever.
You know, it shows you, it really just shows you how much God's put on the inside and how much you know. That identity factor of Christ in me is the hope of glory. But I'm going to let you finish opening.
Oh, no. Well, thank you. Thank you for having me be here. This is not my podcast. This is your podcast. And I'm honored to get to be invited back once again to have a cool conversation with you about God and the kingdom and all kinds of awesome stuff.
There isn't anything better to talk about. And there isn't anything in comparison. And yet, he's not all we need. He's all there is, which is more than we need. So there's always so much. You know, when you identify yourself, and that's really important, is how you think about yourself. And I didn't say this, but thank you for being here, by the way.
My pleasure.
No, it's always great. It's always so great to have you here. And there's just we've known each other for a long, long time, and we've both grown up. I'm not going to say grown older. We've grown up in a lot of different transitions of time, a lot of this and that, and what's going to happen, and what's happening, and what do we do with this, and now we know what to do. But in all, knowing how much we have identified because of the revelation, knowing how to identify yourself, knowing how to think about me in Christ. And not just Christ in me. And the reason I'm saying that is because so often we can think about Christ in me, but not doing anything, just like he's kind of boxed up in there. You know, he's shut behind closed doors, and he's not shut up behind closed doors. And when you start to talk, you start to think about anything. And if you're confident, and that's faith, if you're confident that God has related himself to you in every facet of life in a way that we can relate back to him, and it's that scripture of him, through him, and back through us, back to him again, to God be the glory and the honor. So it's I'm saying all that to say when you begin to talk about the things of God and knowing how to identify, Christ isn't just boxed up on the inside of me. Christ is speaking through me. He's eternal, and it just keeps going and going, and there is no end, and that's what life is. We don't want life to end, and life doesn't end. You know, it just takes on so many different nuances of reality, and Christ is alive. He's real. He's the first, the last, the beginning and the end. So, and that's, again, isn't even about what we're talking about, but I was just thinking about how every time we sit down, it seems like so many different directions present themselves, and I never know which way we're going to go, even though the producer says, let's do this today.
Let's do this. Well, I think let's try and tie that in then. So that we were going to talk about faith today, but from a perspective different than a lot of times you hear talked about the church, particularly in a more charismatic type environment of what faith is. And, you know, there's word of faith teachers, and there's been a strong faith movement. And then that goes to and there's a lot of good in that, but that can get abused to the idea of the name it and claim it culture of things that, you know, a lot of churches have gone down that path. And then it just becomes about using your faith to acquire stuff and get stuff and everything like that. And so, something you've talked about before is the idea that faith is not your servant. And I think that's interesting in context, even of what you were just saying about relating to Christ inside of us. And if Christ is alive inside of us, if it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me, Jesus certainly isn't our servant, even though he came to be a servant.
Right.
To everyone. But for us to look at, you know, the creator of the universe as our servant, you know, he will do that for us, but for us to look at him that way and to think of him those terms, nobody would do that. And so faith doesn't exist, just like he doesn't exist, to serve our needs.
Right.
So then let's talk about that. What is faith then meant to be? If it's not meant to get us things, for us to believe, to get us to heaven, to get us this, to get us that, what is the real purpose of faith?
Oh, I can begin by saying what the word says is, by faith we understand that the things that were formed, all of creation, wasn't formed or created out of things that were visible. Mm-hmm. Okay, number one, that tells you something really important. It tells you that everything that exists isn't visible, but it exists. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the point where we're nailing down here is, faith isn't a servant to your wants. It's the instructor of your purpose, which means, Jesus said it like this. He said, consider the lilies of the valley. He said, they don't toil, they don't spin. He said, yet your Father takes care of them. Mm-hmm. In all Solomon's glory, and Solomon had a lot. You know, you read about all that Solomon had. He had a lot of stuff, yeah. And a lot of stuff, and was, you know, arrayed in incredible clothing and his palace and all the chariots and horses, and not to mention all the wives and just everything that he had. Mm-hmm. It was misleading in the sense that God said, hey, watch what you connect with and keep the importance. As long as your heart is stayed on me, to seek me, to know me, then I'll keep you, I'll keep your kingdom. So faith, we look at faith like that. Like, God, I need this. And that's what Jesus was saying. Consider the lilies of the valley. They don't toil. They don't spin. Don't think about what you want or what you need. Your Father in heaven knows what you have need of. So what I'm saying is, of course, faith, you know, by faith we're healed. By faith we walk in blessing, and we see all kinds of things happen. It certainly doesn't mean you can't use your faith to believe God for something that's necessary, or mm-hmm. of course the salvation of your loved ones and the world. But when we think about faith traditionally, we can get caught up in this idea or kind of this idealism that faith is servant to our needs. You know, we need something, and now let's use our faith because that's how you get things, you know. Yeah. When you're a believer, you don't go out and rob. You're not a thief. You're not a con. You're supposed to be just and right. So the way we get stuff is we use our faith because, you know, God wants us to be blessed, and He does. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to increase. But by faith we understand. So let's condense that down and let's look at it. By faith, what does that mean? Our understanding is our faith in who God is and what God has said and what God reveals. So your faith becomes your understanding. When we look at things that we want or things that seem to be missing in our lives, you're not making enough money, or you know, you're having a difficult time in your business, or mm-hmm. or whatever it is, family complications, issues. I mean, it's an endless list of what could or sure, couldn't be, absolutely. Or should or shouldn't be. We can tend to think of faith as our servant to our needs, servant to our wants, but faith is really your understanding. I said this the other day. You may not be able to figure out what's going on in your life. I mean, you're praying, you're asking God to help you, and you just can't make sense of what isn't happening. Mm-hmm. But your faith understands. Mm. Your faith has a knowledge of what is going on. And that's why God said, consider the lilies of the valley. They're not out there toiling and working. I believe people sweat too much. They work too hard. And certainly nothing wrong with working hard. I work hard. I love to work hard. But we work too hard. There's a scripture I recently read where it says that the blessing of the Lord increases us or makes us wealthy without the pain of toil. Mm. And I love that. That's in Proverbs. And I thought, man, you know what? That's the rest of God. But faith is not a servant to our wants. It really instructs us. It's an instructor. And this is what I mean. God will allow us, will open doors for us to believe. Mm-hmm. The doors God opens for us oftentimes are not the doors we'd use our faith to open.
Right.
You know, we'd use our faith to open a door where, you know, this is coming and that's coming and look at the blessing and look at this and they're speaking well of me and everybody loves me, yeah, and great things are happening. And those are all wonderful things and they happen, of course. But the power of faith is understanding what it's for. By faith, mm-hmm, we understand that the world that was created wasn't created out of things we would want to see, need to see, but by things that don't exist, which again says everything that exists is invisible. There's so much of our lives that is invisible that is so important, and that's your purpose. Your purpose, my purpose, what is that? The way God thinks about us, the way God created us to live in fullness, and our wants and our needs doesn't supply what we need to be in the fullness of life or the fullness, yeah, of God. So faith is more of an instructor to our purpose. And it, as it instructs us, when a man's ways please the Lord, how do we do that? Without faith, it's impossible. Yeah. And not just faith to believe God will do this or God will do that, but faith to believe that God is in us working his will and his purpose, and every step we take, whether it seems complicated, difficult, or easy, every step we take is ordered of the Lord by our faith that God is directing me, even if it seems quiet, even if it seems hard, even if it seems God's saying, your perspective needs to be changed, and your faith is going to teach you how to think about where you are. Yeah. So even in times that seem challenging and can be, you're not realizing, I want you to realize, God's saying, I want you to realize those are the building opportunities. Those are the blocks for that great life you're believing me for, that I told you I have for, yeah, you. But it's not outside of you coming in. It's inside of you coming out. And we want to use our faith to bring things in. God uses our faith to bring things out, wow, of us. Where is the kingdom of God, which is the fullness of all things? Kingdom of God is within you. So, yeah, instead of faith to draw things, faith servant to my wants, say faith servant to my needs, faith is the instructor of my purpose. It brings the purpose of God's kingdom out, helps me to see myself, to identify myself in an image that is more like God than the image of man that is in wants and needs and most of the time living in fear and doubt because we just don't see what we want to see. So maybe we don't have enough faith. Maybe God didn't hear me. Maybe it's never going to happen. And that's our needs talking to us. But when faith is speaking, it's instructing us, saying, mm-hmm, things like, if God be for me, who could be against me? No one. All things have to be working right now together for my good, which is what? My purpose. So faith really instructs us to our purpose, as opposed to just piling the avarice of all, right, life, all the things that we want and desire on us and saying, no, look at that's God. That's too small for God. Those things come. The finances, the abilities, the jobs, the businesses, the doors of favor and honor, they open to us. But we become sound and stable, so it remains when we believe, when we understand what faith really does, what faith really is. By faith, we gain an understanding. Again, I can't figure out what's going on. I've been praying. I've been asking God. You don't have to figure it out because your faith understands what's happening. Your faith. So let's go there. Instead of using our faith to serve our wants and our needs, let's use our faith to worship. God, I worship you today knowing that what exists is invisible many, many, many times, but it exists nonetheless. And what you're doing through my faith is you're helping me see the purpose of everything you've created, yeah, me to know, to be, and to do. So I'm walking in the fullness and not just being subsidized and you know, having something here and a little something there that just keeps me, it constantly keeps you in fear because you ate today's meal. What about tomorrow?
Yeah.
But when you live that consistent life of the seed of God, the kingdom of God is on the inside of me, that fear goes away. And that's called confidence, and that's called peace. Mm-hmm. And we love better when we're at peace. And, you know, we're more proficient at loving and being kind, and we think more wisely, and faith does that. So when those opportunities and they are opportunities of silence. Nothing's happening. Nothing's going on. You know, nobody's talking to me. No one's calling me. You know, I'm not seeing things change the way I want to. Those are those moments of fervor, of power, where God is doing something so critically important on the inside to substantiate who we are in purpose and drive us beyond living according to want and needs. And that's what increases you, and that's the fruit that's important. That's what keeps your mind at peace. And then all those things, like Jesus said, these things will come. Seek first the kingdom of God. Yeah. Well, where is it? In here. Instead of trying to get things from the outside, God's showing us how things come from the inside.
Yeah, and it seems, you know, if you have understanding, then so many of the things you might think you want or even need,
may
no longer need them anymore. You may no longer want them anymore. If I'm in this situation, it looks bleak, blah, blah, you know, however you might say, so I need this and I need this and I need my faith to bring me this, this, and the other thing. But if I had the understanding that right around the corner, you know, that the answer is already going to be there, or that these things in my life that I want to be rid of, God put there to achieve something, but we had the understanding of that, then we wouldn't be trying to use our faith to get things to be different anyways.
Yeah.
So the understanding is the place that you know, that's the bedrock foundation, that if you have that, it seems far more valuable than the ability to get all these things, because you could be getting all these things that are actually impeding you from going. If your faith really did, if God just said, whatever you ask for, I'm just going to give you no matter what.
Yeah.
And it just gave, that's going to stop you from getting to where you need to go, because you don't know how those things, what tools you need and you don't need.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better. Absolutely. It's Gideon.
Yeah.
You know, he's got 32,000 men and it's not enough. What did I just say? 32,000. It's never enough. Hell and destruction are never full, the scriptures tell us. And so the eyes of humanity are never satisfied. You just never get enough. But Gideon is there and he's like, man, it's, you know, he's afraid. When we use our faith to get things, and again, I can't stress enough, your faith does bless you, it does increase you, but understanding the purpose of faith is far more expeditious in getting us where we need to go. So as you said, I mean, how many times have we toiled for things that we thought, man, people all the time, you know, I pray with me, Pastor, that God will give me this job. Prophesy to me this, you know, that something, tell me what the word of the Lord is regarding this job. I really, really, what they're really saying a lot of times is, tell me what I want to hear.
You know,
prophesy the word that I want to hear. Confirm it. Because I believe if you say it, it'll happen. And
guilty.
Yeah, well, well, and listen, there's power in totally. Saying, release the word and it'll happen, okay?
Yeah.
But how many times have I agreed with people that got a position and then went, man, you know, I know I believed for it, but it became so much more of a weight than it ever was a blessing.
Yeah.
Our wants are what makes us toil and work and sweat and labor. Instead of learning like Gideon, God said, Gideon, what I want to show you is it's not what you need. It's who I am with you.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's down to a handful of people, and God says, I want to show you something. You're not going to have to sweat this one. All I want you to do is go up on the hill, shout, break the pot, let the light shine, and shout the victory of the Lord and of Gideon. God unifying, I'm working through you. It's the same thing today. If we just understand, you know what? Number one, we don't have as many needs as we think we do because he's given us all things. What we need to see is how we are to walk in our purpose. And number one, wake up in the morning to declare, this is the greatest season of my life. Don't wait. We talked about this. Don't wait for the warm morning or the day to tell you how you should pray. You wake up and say, this is what's going to happen. My purpose is declaring that I'm a worshiper of God today. God's going to speak through me. He's going to do things I hadn't even expected. He's going to surprise me just like he did Gideon. He's going to show me exceedingly, abundantly, and above all I know to ask or think. And when we allow our faith to make us talk that way, faith disciplines us, it corrects us, it adjusts how we think, because it teaches us not to think for things that we need, like we're living in a world of want, but showing us how complete we are. So those things, like you're saying, things you wanted, you're praying for, you're desperate for, God says, I'll take you so far beyond that, Gideon. You don't need, 100,000 men to win this battle. You know, a handful of men. You can take 300 people. If God decided you could take 5, you could take 10. It could be you standing up there. And the Spirit of God will do what the will of the Father is, as long as you know that you're walking in your purpose. Gideon's purpose was to believe God. God says, man, yeah, I'll tell everybody. Everybody else is going to know. Everybody else around you is going to know before you know that I'm God with you and the victory is yours. So he gives the enemy dreams. The enemy is afraid. You know, your needs are so manipulative, mm-hmm. if you allow them to be.
Yeah.
They manipulate your mind. They steal your peace. And that's why Jesus said, don't think about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to know that your Father knows you have need of all these things. Use your faith to worship God. Use your faith to declare God's doing something so far beyond what I'm able to see, and then be excited about it. And what happens is our minds begin to mature. We start getting stronger in our spirit. And like you said, your wants change. Your needs change. I mean, when Gideon's standing up on the hill and seeing God bring him victory, you know, there had to be that great moment of saying, thank God, this could have been a big, horrible battle. And then I'm having to manage all of this rather than trusting in the word of the Lord. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. And what was God doing? God was using Gideon's faith to correct him, to discipline him, not to beat him, but to say, Gideon, think like this.
Yeah.
It's not what you need. And not only that, I'll surround you with what is encouraging towards your purpose instead of you just trying to get everything you think you need. And why do we do that? We think it's going to make us happier. It's the tree in the garden. You know, why did Eve, and we can talk about this maybe even in the next podcast, but why? What was it with Eve and Adam that made them just cave? You know, why do we cave? Faith isn't your servant. Faith is your instructor to your purpose. And if you walk in your purpose, there isn't anything. All things work together for good to those that love God. And the other thing, we're seeking the kingdom of God at that point. The kingdom is coming out of us instead of trying to pull things in. God's saying, let me bring it out of you like a seed. Let me bring that. How many times did Jesus analogize using a seed? Mm-hmm. Look at what's in the seed, guys. Die to the wants and the needs and let faith be your guide. Let faith be your instructor. Let faith show you how purpose-filled you are, and then all things will happen. Seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will come. All these things will be manifest. Seek first the kingdom of God. Faith is our instructor, not our servant.
I love that. I love that thought of it coming out of us instead of trying to pull something into us. Because like the scripture says, like you referenced, that he's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. It's complete. He said it is finished. So we have, he's given us that. He's alive in us. And it's like those things in life where we're going through and we want to, by faith, pull this in and pull this in. It's like, instead, he's like, no, you're in the midst of that so that my nature and character can flow out of you. So that the fruit of the Spirit, so that all those things that represent me in you get a chance to come out and you get to display those.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
to the world. Yeah. And that not to jump the subjects, but that ties a little bit into, I think, what you were even talking about this past Sunday about believing in the fullness of who he is in us, that he's living through us.
Yeah.
And that we are the means by which he then gets to express himself into the world.
That's why he created us. Why else would God, again, if heaven was everything God wanted, why did he create earth? And if the host of heaven is all that he wanted, why did he create man? Everything he does for a purpose, a great purpose. But how many times have you ever had anyone say to you, because I have numerous times, I just don't feel close to the Lord.
No.
I'm not feeling the presence of the Lord. God seems so far away. God wants to take the far away away.
Yeah.
He wants to take that so far away out of the way. And the way that happens is the way God designed us to be. That's why God works through us the way that he does. He wants to take the distance out of the way. I mean, we should never feel like I don't feel the presence of the Lord, as opposed to I'm living in the presence of the Lord. I mean, here's the thing. Presence of God is so far beyond a feeling. It's an understanding. You know, the presence of it's just like love. I mean, love and the presence of God carries a feeling, a sense, of course, but that sense is beyond what seems relevant in the sense of tangibility to us. It's beyond that. God's so present, so good, that what he's saying is, I want you to know you're never without me. And your senses can't dictate how close I am. So God's saying, I'm going to take the distance. I want to take the far away out of the way. And the way he does that is we walk in times where we can't sense, so we become reliant on the internal except instead of the external, because the external is always moving around. It's like leaves on a tree. It comes and it falls away. And if you determine the value of a tree or the strength of a tree based on what comes and goes, you chop down all the trees, you know, except for a few evergreens, because the leaves are always falling. It's, what is it saying? A new season is coming. Something fresh, something new, more fruit, new fruit is coming. But that moment when it changes, it's nothing is going away. It's transforming into something. I mean, even when the leaves fall on the ground, they become part of the new season. And it's the same thing with how we think about our distance between us and God. It's not the external. That's why he didn't say, don't think about what you want or what you need, because he didn't want us to know what we're going to wear tomorrow. You know, we have a closet full of clothes. You go and but even with your clothes, the more clothes you get, the more difficult it becomes. What am I going to wear? You know, my daughter just went into my closet the other day because, you know, my daughters and my wife, they all do the chores. Listen, I love a clean house and I work hard and I love to do things. I'm not a domestic guy. I just, you know, I remember when I was growing up as a kid, it was like Saturday was the day to dust.
Yeah.
And I wanted to watch cartoons. Right. I want to go out and play.
Get me out of the
house.
My
mom's like, it's time to dust, you know. It wasn't a whip, but it felt like it. I'm not a domestic guy, but my wife goes into my daughters both went in my closet and said, Dad, man, I can't hang your clothes up anymore. It's just like such a wreck in here. And I am a bit of a neat freak, but my closet sometimes it just gets, it's too small. Come on. Your wife always has the big closet. You can walk in, you know, you can spend a day in there just browsing, perusing, you know, all the clothing and everything that's in there. But my closet's like, it's like a, you know, it's just like a bread box.
Yeah,
you
just like a tiny
You know
little,
what I'm talking about.
Just a tiny little.
So my wife, my daughter goes in the other day and I come into the bedroom and there's this pile of clothes. Dad, what do you want to get rid of? And I said, well, and when you start going through, you see how much I hadn't worn in years, literally.
Right.
And that's poor management, you know, of space. Same thing. We want so much. So we just have all these options. What if we live by faith? Jesus lived moment of the time with the Father and he never wanted for anything. And that's what he's saying to us. When you look at things that are far away, you're always going to feel that sense of need, and you're never going to feel the presence of the Lord the way you should, because we're always considering everything that is beyond us. The Spirit of God, Jesus said, it's expedient that I go, so you're not looking at me at the distance, from the distance, you're looking at me through you. You're seeing me through you. You're seeing me, feeling me, sensing me, hearing me, speaking through you. I and you, tells us in John, and you and me, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide. It's that abiding part of God that he wants us to acknowledge and to be aware of. And wanting things to come sometimes creates that distance. We don't realize it, but I need this and I need that. Everything that is beyond me, forget that. Even if you do need it, forget it for a minute. Because if it's beyond your grasp, it's beyond your grasp. Yeah. Only God can bring what we can't. But if God brings that association with the fullness, number one, your mind begins to perceive differently what you really need. Maybe you don't need that, you know, 10 pair of jeans that you've had in your closet for 6.5 years that you're never going to wear. You know, they're outdated, out of style anyway.
Right.
But, you know, what is pertinent? What is necessary? What is now? What is God saying now? Life will speak to you and tell you, I need an answer. And if we say the answer is within me, not outside of me. Your needs change, number one. You find that you don't need your closet so jammed and compressed that you can't get anything in and out of it. Mm-hmm. Same in our lives. It becomes so complicated, so pressed. So we can worry about things that'll never even have to, we'll never even have to deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, you ever created a conversation in your mind based on what someone might say?
Oh, yeah, all the
and you
time.
Get in an argument in your own head with someone that isn't even there with a scenario that never unfolds. I mean, how crazy is that? But we do that instinctively by the nature of want, and want leads us to fear because we think we're not going to have enough. Spirit of God brings us peace by saying, I'm within you and I'm going to work through you. And because of God's fullness and his word, you'll never want. I've been young, I've been old. The word says, I've yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. But even though God facilitates everything you need, if you don't have the eyes to see it, you can't see what God is doing. You know, I had a lot of cool clothes in my closet and I wasn't wearing because the old ones were crowding them and concealing them. And when my daughter cleaned out my closet, I can get to the stuff I need. I've actually found a couple shirts that still had tags on them. Sometimes we allow the old things that we're holding on to because we just can't let it go. Let it go. Clear out your closet. Let God do a work in your life. Don't be afraid of what looks like it's going away. God's making room for what's coming. He's making room for my wife and daughter. Even said, oh, we can get you some clothes for Christmas because there's space to put them. Let the old go. Let the new come. God's never taking anything away. There's no loss in the kingdom. There's only room for increase. And when we think beyond ourselves, instead of Christ working through me, Christ working in me, Christ in me, my hope of glory, we stay in that mode of panic and we just don't see the glory of God. And you'll see your field, Will, the field of your mind becomes peaceful. You're able to think more clearly. You're able to associate more precisely with what God is saying. You find the steps of the Lord. You feel the presence of the Lord in the peace God brings you for one simple reason. You're allowing your faith to instruct you. And what is it telling you? Christ is within me. The kingdom of God is in me. What I need isn't beyond me. It's within me. By the word of faith, by my worship and praise towards God, I sense his presence. My mind is now telling me I'm so close to you. And you hear the voice of God clearly. You see the signs all around you. God baiting our passion mm-hmm. of faith. Meaning things that you can't see, God saying, just believe that I'm God with you. And if you can't see it, maybe you don't need what you can't see, but you need what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is, trust me. And in that, you walk down that path and doors begin to open. Things begin to happen. And it starts with peace in your mind. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm trusting, confident in God. And you feel now, when you start feeling, thinking that way, which is the way faith teaches us to think. It's not beyond me, it's within me. And what can come out of me? The one thing God doesn't have until we give it to him is our worship, our praise. Give him that. That's our offering. And when you do, God, given it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It's not just what you throw in the offering plate. It's what God brings out of you. Give your worship, give your praise, give your thanks to God. Faith is your instructor. It teaches you how to trust in the Lord from the inside and not wait for things to happen on the outside.
Man, that is such a good word. And I think that would transform the church, it would transform the world to walk with that confidence that it's not all out there that we got to get, but it's all within us as we walk and it comes out of us.
Yeah, what if we didn't need anything on the outside to tell us that God was with us? You know, I mean, Jesus walked in the world and he said, I'm here doing the will of the Father. I mean, there was so much rejection to his words. I mean, he's doing signs and wonders and miracles, and then people are saying, well, do another one so we can convict you of doing something wrong on the wrong day, you know, Sabbath day. You shouldn't be doing anything. You shouldn't be. And Jesus says, so is it wrong to do right on the Sabbath day because it's a day of rest? And it's the same thing. Sometimes we say, you know, I can't feel the presence of the Lord because you're looking in the wrong place.
Yeah.
You're looking on the outside. The presence of the Lord's in the inside. Let your ear, I say this all the time, let your own ear hear your mouth declare, God's with me. Instead of, he feels so far away, he feels so close by me. Let your faith instruct you. Let your faith direct you in the way you should speak, in the way you should think. The carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can it be, the scriptures tell us, Old King James Version. But when we set our mind, I'll keep him in perfect peace, I'll keep you in perfect peace, when your mind is stayed on me. How do you do that? I don't need anything on the outside to tell me how powerfully God is with me. Let your ear hear your mouth say that. I confess with my mouth, my hope, my trust is in the Lord. He keeps me in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on all he's done and all he's given me. I mean, we complain about so much that we don't have. Man, if you're breathing, you have the life of God on the inside of you. We breathe the ruach, the breath of life in us, made us a living being, and then filled us with his spirit. Jesus said, I want you to feel me on the inside. You've seen me on the outside. Now feel me on the inside. This is that season. That's how we believe. That's what faith does.
Yeah. What a great word. What a great word. Thank you, Pastor. What a, to the insights that, that God speaks through just is so awesome. And I know your heart is just to reflect who he is in you and in all of us. And thank you so much for the word you bring for this podcast, a way to dive even deeper into, you know, what you talk about on Sundays. And
thank you, Steve.
What a great session. Can't wait to our next one. And thank you guys for watching. And tune in again next week for the next episode of the Pulling on Heaven podcast. And don't miss Sunday service. I guess that's important,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, join us Sunday. We'd love that. We have a great time. It's different. And we look forward every Sunday to what God's going to say. And guess what? He never disappoints.
Amen. All right. Thanks a lot. See you guys.